Monster Man, Episode 93, Elemental Princes of Evil. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In the second season of Monster Man, we're talking about the 1981 Fiend Folio supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. In today's episode, we're looking at a group of five monsters who have gone on to inspire a number of classic, question mark, D&D adventures has certainly become a big part of the Dungeons & Dragons cosmology. I'm talking about the Elemental Princes of Evil. So let's get started. Okay, the Elemental Princes of Evil were created by Lou Pulsifer, and they basically represent sort of boss monsters who can command forces of appropriately themed creatures. So, for example, the cold guy can summon up white dragons, and the water one has a bunch of sahuagin, and so forth. And they are pretty similar. They all have kind of the same basic structure to their abilities, and then a bunch of additional stuff that's fitting with being elementally themed. Now, they're not as elementally, they're not sort of, you'd think they'd be earth, air, fire, and water, but they're earth, air, fire, water, and cold. But again, I think that's definitely in keeping with the large number of cold-themed monsters in Dungeons & Dragons. These guys are essentially like demons and devils, only they come from different planes. So we're already starting to see things that kind of spin out of the structure of the Dungeons & Dragons planar system. There are five of these guys. You got Cryonax, the Prince of Evil cold creatures. You got Imix, the Prince of Evil fire creatures. You got Ogrimmach, the Prince of Evil earth creatures. Olhydra, Princess of Evil water creatures. And Yancy Bin, Prince of Evil aerial creatures. Now, I may be mispronouncing some of those, but I think that's probably the gist of it. To give you my view of the Princes of Elemental Evil, I want to reenact for you a conversation that I had with my wife Allison earlier today. The scene, a peaceful Sunday morning, or actually early afternoon, in the Holloway household. A particularly self-indulgent cat is receiving some scritches, and James is flipping idly through the Fiend Folio, getting ready for recording the episode. So I say to Allison, I'm like, okay. You know, imagine that there was the Elemental Prince of Fire. What do you think he looks like? And Allison says, a big monster made out of fire. No. Even more basic than that. Okay. A big flame. Yep, correct. Okay. Then there's a Prince of Air Elementals. What's he look like? Like a big cloud, a wind. Yes, absolutely. What does Olhydra, the Prince of Evil Water Creatures, look like? Like a big wave. Yep, absolutely. What does Ogrimmach, the Prince of Evil Earth Creatures, look like? Kind of like a golem. Yes, that's exactly what he looks like. And what does Cryonax, the Prince of Evil Cold Creatures, look like? An icicle? No. A snowflake? No. A snowman? No. Yeti with tentacle arms. Every other Prince of Elemental Evil looks like your first or second guess. If I told you he's the evil Prince of the Earth Elementals, the first or second thing you'd think was, looks like a great big flame. But I could give you 100 guesses for Cryonax, and you would not get Yeti with tentacle arms. I can't decide whether that's the best thing about Cryonax of the world. No, it's definitely the best. It's definitely the best. Ogrimmach is the second best looking, because at least there's something deeply unsettling about his big, doughy, baby-looking self, right? He's something mushy and unpleasant, and not just the usual kind of walking mountain, big, mean, craggy stone face that you would expect from an evil earth elemental. Looking at the Elemental Princes of Evil, they seem a little bit like recognitions of existing themes within the monster books, right? Like, there's a lot of ice monsters. There's a lot of fire monsters. There are a lot of fire monsters. When we get to the Fiend Folio F chapter, we're going to find a lot of fire monsters. But, there's a lot of water monsters. There's et cetera, et cetera. So you almost feel like the ice guy was added largely because there are so many ice monsters. And there's so many monsters with icy attacks. Like, it's a weird thing about the Yeti, right? This creature that lives in a cold climate and can generate a bunch of cold to harm all its prey that live in cold climates and are therefore presumably inured to cold. But so they kind of facilitate themed campaigns, right? What are all these Aqua Jerks doing hanging out together? Well, they are all in the service of the villainous Ol' Hydra, who's trying to get, you know, whatever it might be. And these guys have kind of survived pretty handily into later editions of Dungeons & Dragons. In particular, they were the focus of the Egg of the Phoenix, which is one of those D&D modules that began as a tournament module shortly after the Fiendfolio came out. So the Fiendfolio is 1981, and I think the tournament version of the Egg of the Phoenix is in 1982, and then there is a published version of it that's, you know, later on in the mid-80s. And that definitely set up this idea of, you know, a scenario emerging from the kind of rivalries and machinations of the different elemental princes of evil. And I think that that works quite well, right? The structure of those guys as having those kind of rivalries definitely lends itself to, you know, we think of them as being opposed, right? So like, oh, well, obviously heat and cold are opposed, or, you know, earth and air or whatever. So you definitely get the sense that even though they are bad guys, they would certainly be rivals, and that's borne out by the way that those things are structured. I think in the Egg of the Phoenix, they're all trying to get the same MacGuffin, or some of them are trying to get the same MacGuffin. I haven't read it myself. In a later edition, their name was changed. So in the 90s, they became known as Archimentals, which, not a good name. Elemental Princes of Evil, much better. Although, the Temple of Elemental Evil makes me think that they should be princes of elemental evil, but maybe it should be an elemental temple of evil instead. I don't know, but it's inconsistent, and somehow that bothers me. For no reason. These guys are pretty good. They each have sufficient identifying gimmicks. I mean, they're very powerful, and very powerful AD&D monsters do require a good amount of preparation in order to run them effectively. There's a lot of stuff going on in one round of a fight against, you know, one of these big-ticket opponents. But a lot of those things are really thematic and fun. Like, in particular, I really like the thing that Cryonax is so cold that if you hit him with your metal weapon, it might freeze, get brittle, and snap. That's kind of a neat concept. You know, there's a lot of that kind of thing. You know, and the monsters that they can summon are pretty good. Although, again, Cryonax's ability to gate in, like, whatever it is, D3 white dragons, like, that's a pretty beefy encounter. So maybe it would have been more interesting to see. This is kind of how I feel about boss monsters in general. You know, for very, very, very powerful opponents who chances are you are not going to do stand-up fights with very frequently, the Monster Manual, the Fiendfolio, and Deities and Demigods all seem particularly interested in detailing their stats and not talking as much about their kind of organization or strategy, and yet that would seem to be the more important part, right? If you're going up against Imix, you're going to spend much more of your time fighting Imix's various underlings, cults, and henchmen. You know, you're going to do a lot more thwarting Imix's schemes than going and actually, you know, having at Imix with your various pikes and pole arms. So it seems like more information on the organizations or the, you know, the various plots that these guys can come up with would almost be more useful than their stats. But I guess the idea is that that is scenario content rather than monster book content. This is always how I felt about Call of Cthulhu. There's a collection, I guess what eventually was repackaged under a different name, but at the time they came out, they were called Ye Book of Monsters. And they were like two volumes that were everything that had ever been published in any story that could possibly be regarded as Cthulhu mythos. And a lot of the time, these were creatures that existed within one particular narrative context. Stripped of that context and just given stats, they become much less interesting. If Michael Myers is just a really strong guy with a knife, right? That's not what's interesting about him. It's his relentlessness in pursuit of his target. That is to say, it's his narrative context that makes him interesting, and that part's not in his hypothetical Monster Manual description, I guess. So I feel like I would sort of like to know more about who signs up to worship the Elemental Princes of Evil, because Sahuagin aren't devoted to Ol' Hydra, right? They must be pawns in Ol' Hydra schemes in some way. They have their own culture and stuff. Is that right? They don't worship. Well, maybe they do. I was thinking they worship Bloop Doop Boop, but that's actually the Kuoto, isn't it? Oh, I don't know. Can't remember off the top of my head, but my point is that of these various creatures, like, they're not solely devoted to these monsters. So it'd be interesting to see how they are involved. I mean, I guess the exercise is there for the DM, but that seems to be the kind of thing that would be time-saving and helpful to me. But I do like the Elemental Princes of Evil. I feel like Cryonax is the best of the bunch because he's got a weird twist, right? He's got everything you expect from the cold guy, but he's just got this weird appearance that makes him a little bit more than just Coldy McColderson, whereas Imix is a big pillar of fire. He does fire damage. He's got fire-related spells and light spells, and ice attacks do more against him, and he lives in a volcano, and I mean, he's exactly Fiery McFireson. And I feel like he just needs one little twist, right? He just needs one further additional complication, just something to make him not exactly and only a big bad fire guy. I feel like most of the time, you don't have to make a big monster too complicated. You know, big monsters work because they're simple, powerful images, right? Dragons work because they have these complexities, but at heart, they're a very primal image. You know, it kind of works that way with giants as well. So we want something like Imix. You know, it's a big fire guy. He symbolizes what we think of when we think of fire. That's all swell, but he just needs one little extra thing. Like maybe he's super greedy and loves to burn up particularly rare objects. Or, you know, maybe he's always hungry, like fire is always hungry, or something like that. Just a little bit of a single detail that you can associate with them, or a little twist that isn't exactly what you would expect, like Cryonax's weird Yeti arms or Greymok's big mushy old face. Given that, and I think they're pretty much good to go. So overall, despite the fact that I've been critical in some ways of their blandness and like the lack of contextual detail, I think the Elemental Princes of Evil are pretty solid, and I think the fact that they've been able to be used in such a wide variety of scenarios, which in turn has kind of cemented their position as part of the D&D lore, you know, maybe down at like the B level, not, you know, we're not talking about Tiamat or Strahd or whatever, but I think they've retained a good amount of popularity. I think that's telling. You know, I think they have certainly deserved that. Anyway, that is all the time that we have for today. Please join me next episode when we're going to talk about the Elf, very briefly, the Enveloper, the Ettercap, and the Eye Killer on Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. We might not get to the Eye Killer, but we'll try. Do you have a favorite monster? Do you have something you'd like me to talk about? Find me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or send me an email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. If you want to support the podcast, you can do so at patreon.com/monsterman, where you'll find lots of extra bonus content and my brand new show, Patron Deities, in which I explore the Deities and Demigods Advanced Dungeons & Dragons book. Check it out. Thanks for listening.